Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes. And this week, Die Hard with a Vengeance, the third installment, obviously. Bruce Willis in the news, very sad news. Thought I would bump this one up. I was going to do this one this year anyways. Probably one of my favorites in the entire Die Hard series, obviously. We'll get into that. But I break this down in Blu-ray from the Nakatomi Plaza edition, the streaming 4K edition, Zapiti, I break it down from that, and as well as the 4K version from the Kaleidoscape. We get into all the sights, the sounds, the differences between all the different formats, which one you should watch it in, all of that fun stuff. I can't wait to sit down and talk to you guys about this. So let's get into all of that, plus a little bit more, some nuances, some fun scenes, all of that. Let's get into this. Let's sit down and have some fun.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Die Hard with a Vengeance, the third installment in the Die Hard series. One of, if not my favorite, of the entire series. Obviously, Die Hard's my favorite. It's the first one. That's kind of Die Hard, obviously the first one. It revolutionized action movies in the 80s, kept them grounded. Or brought them back to being grounded. One man, it seemed more plausible to do the things that he was doing. Then we had the second movie. The second movie was pretty good. Basically kind of the same thing as the first one, just in an airport. But then we got this one, third one. We add Samuel Jackson into it. Hysterical. So you got a nice comedy feel. You got a good, buddy cop situation going on, which hadn't happened yet in the Die Hard series. And you added in some misdirection. Popcorn's not popping yet, so I won't get into spoilers if you haven't seen this movie yet. But suffice it to say, for me, the story is one of my favorite stories in the Die Hard series, because I think the way the story was written, the way they used notes from the first movie, the way they used characters from the first movie to manipulate you in this movie, I thought was more creative than the first movie was. I thought the writing brought you it. The first time I saw this in the theater, you didn't know what was going on. Characters in the movie don't know what's going on. You're figuring it out along with them. And then as layers are revealed to you, you're very entertained. All the while you're going along in a nice 80s, 90s action film, and you're getting all of that. And we're going to get into all of those scenes. But the story itself, to me, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a different take in the Die Hard series that wasn't duplicated after this, and that obviously it was the freshest take at the time of the Die Hard series. So this is I would have to say it's my second favorite movie, because Die Hard will be my favorite, but it's my favorite story. Die Hard kind of revolutionized movie making for action films back in the 80s, so... let's get into the picture and the sound. So, picture. All right. Compared this on my Zapiti. Compared this on my Blu-ray, my Panasonic UDP 820. Compared this on streaming. I rented it for $3.99 from Apple iTunes, and I compared it on the Kaleidoscape. Streaming. Picture-wise, excellent. Excellent picture on streaming. It is very close to what I'm getting on the Kaleidoscape. Picture-wise on the Blu-ray and the Zapiti, pretty much identical, not even close to the Kaleidoscape and streaming. So there is no disc yet for 4K for this. The only way you could see this in 4K with HDR, and I believe it is with Dolby Vision. I don't get Dolby Vision here, but I believe it is with Dolby Vision on iTunes. But don't quote me on that. But it is in HDR. Very, very close to the Kaleidoscape. The Kaleidoscape is just cleaner. It's smoother. It just felt nicer. A little bit more detail. But very, very slightly more detailed, but it just does, it has a nicer feel to it. But the streaming is so close, that like if it, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference if you watched it here or went someplace, went next door. And I say that again in a minute, but you wouldn't really be able to tell the difference. Side by side or a being it here, I could see a slight difference in it, but that's how good the 4K streaming is getting, for picture. Now, the Blu-ray picture, it's just it feels washed out, a being it. You would notice a difference if you watched it here in 4K and then went to your house and put it on a disc. You would be like, wow, that doesn't look as right. You'd feel like your settings were off. It's just things are brighter. Skin tones are off. I get into that in a little bit. It's not as nice. But let's get to the sound. The sound is so much better on the Blu-ray than it is on streaming. The sound, and to me, that's what's engaging throughout the movie. I would rather watch the Blu-ray with an inferior picture and a fantastic surround sound experience than watch a very nice, beautiful picture and have a muted surround sound experience. It's just... You have to go with the Blu-ray and the little bit of a washed out picture. It's that noticeable to the point that I would say that the Blu-ray picture is as noticeable a difference as the sound is to the streaming. It's a vast difference. But as we've said before on this podcast, which is more important for an engaging environment, for a great experience in your room? Yes, you wish you could have both. Of course, you want to have a good picture, a great picture, and great sound. But if you had to choose, and here's a case where there's no 4K disc, so you can get a great picture by going to the streaming, but the sound is going to suffer. Which one are you going to choose? I'm going to choose the sound. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with the Blu-ray. I'm going to let the picture suffer a little bit. And I'm going to let my room do its magic when it comes to the sound. Because the sound on the disc and on the Kaleidoscape, it's just fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic. Very, very close. A little bit more detail. A little bit lower in the bass on the Kaleidoscape. A little bit more detail in the high end. Just the way things moved around the room. But again, if you heard it here, if I played it for you on the Kaleidoscape and you went home and put in the disc, same thing as the picture situation. You really wouldn't notice a difference. When you A-B it, yeah, you can see the slight difference. So that's the differences. I mean, I'm lucky enough, I get the advantage of the Kaleidoscape. I do get the best of both worlds. When we get the 4K disc, you'll get the best of both worlds. But right now, if you have to choose... It's up to you. I'm going with great sound and inferior picture. So that's the way that breaks down. Until they come out with the 4K disc, I'm going with the Blu-ray disc all day long. So you can hear the popcorn is popping. We've got a bunch of scenes to get to. So let's get to this scene. Let's get to this opening scene. Really cool opening scene. Die Hard with a Vengeance coming together in the middle of the screen. The sound coming in off of the screen actually came from my side surrounds. Felt like it hit me in the side of the head. Sounded so good. So crisp. So, the high notes were so clear. The bass was visceral. I could feel it. It was like just like almost like a punch, slight punch. We're not talking Lucy type here. We're talking, you know, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Nice DTS 5.1 mix. Up mixing, as I said, up mixing this sounds so good in Neuralax. Never heard it this good before. But really nice city pictures as the music plays. You can hear as they're panning the city, you can hear traffic sounds panning around your room. Really, really cool. Second scene that we're going to get to very, very quick at 1:35. Start with a bang. I remember the first time I saw this and you didn't know what was going on. You had that great opening scene. I mean, it comes in loud and then the music plays loud and everything and the music starting to come down. And then at 1:35, boom, just an explosion out of the side of a building. Really, really nice sound. Filled my room really, really nice. But it was, that's all it was. Just a big bang, starting you off, getting you into this movie. Like, we're going. Here we go. And really, really cool. Jumping up to 2 minutes and 35 seconds. Phone call. I'm giving this one box of popcorn because I love the detail in this and the anticipation that they set using sound. The tension that they set using sound. So the inspector takes the head of the major crimes unit, inspector, whatever his name was at the time. He takes the phone call. I wanted you to start it at the 2 minute 35 second. I think he actually takes the call at about the 40 second mark. But listen at the beginning of it, the first few seconds leading up to the phone call, then listen to the phone call. Obviously, it's the inspector and Simon talking to each other the entire time. And the camera is zooming in on the inspectors. At first, it's like the back of his neck, and then really tight shot too. They get up onto the side of him. They pan around the back of him with the camera. Then you get in really tight to the side of his face as the conversation goes on, to the right side of his face. The image looked beautiful on the kaleidoscope. I mean, you could see into his pores, the 4K. Same on the Apple TV where I rented it. It looked really, really nice. Obviously, the kaleidoscope being a little better than the streaming version in 4K. But what I really want you to pay attention to is I want you to hear the entire phone call from 2:35 all the way up to the 3 minute and 40 second mark. Listen to the music. Obviously, you get the little bit of drum beats coming in when they say something that's very impactful. You get the doom doom, like, you know, obviously we get all of that. But pay attention to what's not going on. Because when he takes this phone call, he's in the middle of this office. And we'd been in the crimes unit, major crimes unit office. This is pre-Law and Order, Special Victims Unit. But say, so you hear everything going on around you. But what subtly is taken away during this phone call is all of that ambient sound is gone. But then when they get to the part where the inspector turns around to yell to the office, it's instantaneous. Whew! It all comes right back into your room at the 3 minute and like 40 second mark, 39 second mark. Just bam, you hear on the left side of your room, you hear cabinets closing, bam, bam, slamming. But it's what was amazing is at that 3 minute and 40 second mark, that's when you realize what has been missing the entire time because you're paying attention to that phone call. This is your first interaction with Simon. This is his first interaction with Simon. But the way they built the tension with that scene and then how it all comes back, all of the ambient sounds fill your room again and they all come back at once. Really, really cool. That's why I gave it a box of popcorn. This isn't one like huge pans or anything like that, but how they manipulated you using that sound. I thought that was really, really cool. All right, moving along to 4 minutes even Hangover. This one here, John McClane, Bruce Willis, is in the back of the police van, and they're going over everything that's happened and why they need to drag him out of his, you know, drunken slumber or whatever and get him in the back of this van and all that. But this scene here is about the picture. So I really analyzed this scene between the Zapiti, the Blu-ray, the streaming, and the kaleidoscope. For the picture quality, because there's a vast difference between the Blu-ray and the 4K version, whether it be on the kaleidoscope or streaming. All right, so first off, the 4K version, far superior. Is so much better, both on the stream Apple iTunes, I rented it for $3.99, and on the kaleidoscope 4K version there. The kaleidoscope is, the picture is better, slightly better in 4K, obviously, because you're not streaming, you're not dealing with the compression. It just felt cleaner. It felt nicer. But again, unless you're A-B-ing it directly, you will not really, like, if you watched it here and then went home and streamed it, watched it here on Kaleidoscape, and then you went, ran right next door and streamed it, you'd be like, oh, okay, it looks the same. It's that close. But the difference, and this is what I think would be fun for you guys, if you want to try this, if you want to rent the 4K version for $399, if you own this already on Blu-ray, put the Blu-ray in, watch this scene, and then put the 4K version on and watch this scene, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The 4K version, it's just flat out brighter. Like, everything looks, it's fine until you compare it. You look at it and you're like, oh, okay, this is it's a nice looking scene. It's normal. But they're in the back of this van, and it seems overly bright. The darker parts of the picture are overly bright. John McClane himself, as you watch this scene, the skin tones, it's too pink. It doesn't look as natural. Then you go to the 4K version and the skin tones are correct. The sergeant or the lieutenant that's in command, his skin tones, he's got more of a tan to him. John McClane, same thing. He looks a little bit more weathered. His skin isn't pink. It's actually a natural skin tone color. The darkness of being in the back of a van lit by fluorescent lights, it looks more natural. It's a darker environment. The scene where you just have John McClane on the right side, I'm sorry, left side of the screen, and he's leaning up against the wall, is just, the differences there are just so vast between the 4K version and the Blu-ray version. When this comes out on Blu-ray, 4K Blu-ray, it's going to be really, really nice, because you're going to get the combination of the two, the great sound and the great picture. But right now, as I said earlier, you have to choose between the two. And this is one of those cases where I'm going to choose the sound over the picture, because it's just that much more dynamic. But this here it's a great experience, very easy scene to get to, 4 minutes. Just watch the scene and the two, and you'll really see what I'm talking about. Obviously, in the tunnels later on, we'll get to that. There's big difference, but those are darker scenes, so you would expect HDR to be a little bit stronger there. But this scene here, it just, I mean, a pink John McClane, just not as nice, not as nice. All right, let's move along to 6 minutes and 50 seconds, Dropped Off. And this is where John McClane gets dropped off on the side of the road with that offensive sign wrapped around him. And he gets out of the back. But really, really nice here is as he steps out, you can hear all of the music being played in the neighborhood over your head. It really nice up mix here using the Neuralax. It felt like it was coming from an elevated place in my room. All the different, and it was like different songs, different notes playing around the room. Then as the van pulls away, the sound of the van actually goes to the right side of the screen, turns around, gets to the left side of the screen, the sound does, and then pans off to the right rear of the room. Really, really nice scene. A lot of fun there. And just the ambient sounds too of the streets. Just pay attention to all of that. Really, really nicely done. Moving along to 7 minutes and 43 seconds. I called this graffiti van because it's a graffitied van, but you hear it before you see it. And it's really, really cool. So you start hearing this music all of a sudden. It's still, we're in the neighborhood and we're hearing all the music around this neighborhood. And then all of a sudden some music gets really loud, like some bass is coming at you. Like, and you recognize it as bass from a car. And if you know what I mean, like you're driving down the road, you're sitting at an intersection or something, and then all of a sudden you just start hearing that muffled bassy noise of boom, and you're like, what the heck? And a guy pulls up next to you and he's got, you know, way too many subwoofers and his car is vibrating all the air in the neighborhood. So you hear that coming from the right rear of your room, and it starts to pan up to the front of the room. And then right as you're hearing it at the front of the room, you see the van peek out from the bottom right of your screen and pulls off and goes to the center of the room, and the sound pans accordingly. Really, really cool. You can hear it before you can see it. All right. Quickly, let's move along to 13 minutes and 30 seconds. We're back in the special, or whatever, in the offices anyways. And you get a nice voice pan here, which you didn't get in the earlier scenes. The camera came in the earlier scenes and the camera went through the office and you saw people talking, but the voices stayed locked in the front. This one here, same situation. The camera comes into the office and characters are walking by and you can hear their voices. One character actually goes down the main side of the right side of your room. Really nice voice pan there as it trails off. It actually fades out, I believe, before you even get to the rear of your room. So really cool pan there. Let's move along to 14 minutes, 28 seconds. Put on a dress. I'll explain more in a second. I'm giving this one 2 boxes of popcorn. My fingers weren't in the video there. 2 boxes of popcorn because this one here, it's so subtle, but it's so nice. John McClane's talking to the psychiatrist. They're talking about Simon and trying to analyze him and everything. And Bruce Willis, John McClane says, what does he want to do? Put on a dress and blank me? And the laughter that they get from the people in the room is actually separated around your room. One of the coolest scenes in the movie. Again, this isn't explosions or anything like that. It's just really cool. In my room, I heard a couple of people, I believe, on the right side of the room, but it is very distinct laughter to the middle of my room where my light switch is, which is at about the 10 o'clock position in my room. There's no speaker there. There's nothing. And it sounded, I mean, it was so clean that it sounded like I had people in my room and they were laughing at the joke on the screen. That's how clean it sounded. You have to hear this laughter. It's just so good. 2 boxes of popcorn. Actually, you know what? I'm going to up that. I'm going to 3 because you got to hear it. And in a good room, with a good surround system, this one sounds really good. It's a lot of fun because you'll be looking around the room for the people that aren't there. Unless you're in a room with a bunch of people. And then it would be weird. If you're in a room with a bunch of people watching this, you'll think it was them that laughed and not what was on the screen. I'm not sure you get this same effect with a sound bar. As a matter of fact, I know you don't. All right, let's move along to 15 minutes and 55 seconds. Office pop. And no, I'm not talking about Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg in The Other Guys. This is a different Office Pop, but if you remember that movie, that was from The Other Guys. Thought it'd be a fun reference. Anyways, they're going over the liquid that is the bomb in this movie, the main character of, you know, destruction in this movie. And the bomb squad guy that loves these chemicals and he's really kind of too fascinated with them. But he takes a little bit and puts it on like a end of a paperclip and throws it outside the room. That boom was really nice. It was so good because they did a really good job of making it seem visceral, like I felt it, but it also felt like it wasn't as big as it should have been, which is actually, I'm having a hard time describing it. It wasn't as big as like a big boom, but it was appropriate. Like this little tiny thing did this like, boom, and moved a chair and that's it. So I don't know how to describe it, but it felt nicely located in the movie, in your room too, but you still had a visceral effect, but it didn't fill the entire room. It was more concentrated. I guess that's the best way to put it. Really liked it. I listened to it a couple of times and I still have trouble describing it exactly what I mean, but check it out for yourself. 15 minutes, 55 seconds. It's a really nice explosion. Felt it in my chest. Not super powerful, but I think that's the point. It's just supposed to be a small explosion, a small office pop, if you will. All right, let's move up to 22 minutes and 50 seconds. Captain Kangaroo, and this isn't a home theater thing. You don't have to pause it here and just pay attention to this one little line. It's just a reference to Pulp Fiction. You know, smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo comes directly from Pulp Fiction, which Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis had filmed the year before, had come out the year before. So I just thought that was just super cool. Just a way to reference the two of them being in Pulp Fiction together, but still obscure enough that you wouldn't necessarily pick it up. So I just thought I'd note that one too. I really like that because I'm obviously a huge Pulp Fiction fan. So moving along to 32 minutes, 55 seconds. Bad idea. And this is John McClane's on the sidewalk looking down into the subway system. He's got the grate open and he's about to jump down onto the top of a subway. And he pulls out the "this is a bad idea" from, I believe, Die Hard. He used it there. And he jumps down there. But listen to your room once he gets in there. And the things just whizzing by. All the noises you get, the high-pitched noises of the train. You get the little bit of the bass of the heaviness of being in a tunnel. I'm not sure. It's not visceral bass. You don't feel it. But just the things whizzing by. And then the lights that are on the wall. And they're like, shoom, 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 going by your room. Just really fun scene in a room that, especially if you happen to have a dedicated theater room that's, you know, narrow and feels like a tunnel like mine is. It's longer. My room is longer than it is wider. So I just get that real nice tunnel feel. So hopefully you get that as well. But I really, really, really cool scene. A lot of fun to just let that one play out. Really cool. Moving along to 3 minutes, 31 seconds, World Trade Center. It's paused on my screen right now as I'm looking at it, and we're looking at the two towers. And obviously this was filmed in the early 90s, came out in 95. They actually make a reference to the first bombing of the towers, which I believe was in 93, 92. I'm not really sure when they tried to take down the towers that time by going at the foundation. And they referenced that in this movie. And sadly, I believe that's what brings some credibility to this movie. One of the things we like about the Die Hard movies is that while they are unbelievable, right? I mean, swinging off the top of a building with a fire hose in the first one and doing all these things that are, you know, you really couldn't do in real life. It's way more, these movies were considered way more grounded than, say, a Schwarzenegger or Stallone vehicle that was just like, okay, this is just crazy. Nobody could do that. Die Hard with a Vengeance gets a little crazy at the end, you know, surfing on top of a dump truck and jumping onto a barge using the cables. That's a little bit out there. But that along the lines of using the fire hose off the top of a building. But most of this movie is very plausible. And for them to draw from the World Trade Center bombing in the early one where they went at the foundation, it brought credibility to the story of the movie that, like, hey, we're, you know, New York is going to really focus on this. We don't want this to happen again. We've got to, you know, acts of terrorism are taken very seriously. They shut down the school. So it brought credibility to how everybody was reacting to this. Of course, I froze this scene at 33 minutes and 31 seconds just because it's emotional. You don't know that when you're filming these things, but knowing, you know, living through 9/11, knowing where I was on that day and everything, it's powerful. And there's a bunch of scenes in this movie that they use the World Trade Center as a backdrop. And it was a scene. That's how important those buildings even were then, because maybe I froze it. I'm not sure if I timestamped the scene, but there's a scene later on when they're running down the street, Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis. And the frame is shot in a way that it's like you get the three characters. You get Samuel Jackson, Bruce Willis, and they framed in the World Trade Center way in the background. This one here is just literally, it's just a shot taken away. They just look up and you're literally looking up at the two towers. Really, really cool scene. Cool to remember, sad to remember. So just thought I'd make that note. All right, let's move along to 37 minutes, 54 seconds, subway explosion. And this is where the subway explodes. Self-explanatory, right? Two boxes of popcorn for this one because of the bass and the higher notes as well. The screeching metal. So cool. So let's break this down. At the beginning of the scene, obviously, John McClane throws the bomb out the back window of the subway. and the explosion happens, and you get a really, really loud explosion, feeling it in your chest. The room, my seat was vibrating. But then the shot from there goes outside, up on the sidewalk. We're looking at the buildings, we're looking at the sidewalk, but you're still feeling that muffled bass, but you're feeling it in your seat as well. Like, my seat was still rumbling. So you're getting that same effect as if you are on the sidewalk. Really cool. Then we go back down into the subway, and now the subway is now derailed. It's starting to skid on its side, or starting to skid along the platform. And that's where you're getting that screeching metal. And you got a lot of screeching metal coming at you from the center screen channel, because the train subway is coming at you from the center channel. But then as it starts to scrape things on the side, you're getting noises on the side. You're getting ambient sounds of people running and screaming, all going along around your room, all coming down the side. Lots to take in here. Lots of different levels of sound. Lots of nice bass. Lots of nice higher pitch sounds. Lots in the middle. There's so much to take in here. That's why I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn. Just a fun scene. Let's move up to 49 minutes, 5 seconds. What the hell? 2 boxes of popcorn for this scene as well. So this one here is, we're in the streets of New York, and there's barricades up, and one of the characters is talking to the press, telling them, you know, stay back, it's a shift change, don't worry about it. But all of a sudden, you and the character start to hear something big, something loud, and you can feel it in your seat. I could feel it in my seat, and the noise in the room, the sound in the room starts to get deeper, just a sound coming around, and you're like, what is that? And then the character starts to look, and it's coming from the front of your room, but slightly to the right. And what I really liked about this is, when you're in a city and you hear noises in the city, you don't necessarily hear them the way you would hear them in an open field. Okay. So if you and I are in an open field and you walk 100 yards away and you clap your hands, even with my eyes closed, I can point right to where you are, okay? Because there's nothing, all I can hear is you. In a city, you could walk 100 yards away, I could close my eyes, watch you walk away, and I would have a hard time pinpointing where that came from. I might be inaccurate, because if it bounced off a building, I might think that that sound came from the building. And I'd be like, if I had my eyes closed and I'm pointing, I'm like, you're over there. And then you would yell, no, I'm behind you over here. And there was something barricading the sound, or that made the initial sound not as audible, if you get what I mean. That's what happens in a city. So these dump trucks are coming at you, but they're coming from the left side of your screen. But if you look on the left side of your screen, there's a giant building there. But you start to hear the sound on the right side of the screen, and it kind of grows towards the middle of your screen as the dump trucks get closer to rounding that corner coming in from the left. And all the while, the sound is also getting deeper. It's getting more visceral in your seat. My seat started vibrating more and more as these big giant dump trucks got even closer. It's a convoy of dump trucks, but yeah, check that scene out. Let me know what you think, because I would venture to guess that even with a good, 3.1 setup, you're going to hear that pan, that little bit stronger on the right than it was, and then pans back to the middle as the dump trucks get there. But then you also need that nice visceral sound in your seat. But, really, really cool scene. Probably very enhanced being in a dedicated room too, if you happen to have that. All right. Let's move along to 52 minutes and 50 seconds drum beat. So Jeremy Irons, Simon, is walking into the National Reserve, the Federal Reserve, sorry. And there's a drum beat that, and then the horns come in. Well, what I want you to pay attention to is that drum. It starts out very subtly. In my room, it was up high on the wall, kind of where the wall meets the ceiling, on the right side of my room. And then start there at the 5250. That's about where I heard it. And then it slowly pans to the middle and then over to the slightly to the left side of the room and then starts to come back when the horns come in. And then right when the guy that's in charge of the place in the suit with the bow tie on, it went back completely. The drum, that is, just the drum went over to the right side, back over to the right side of the room. But check out how that moves, because it actually moves a couple of times. It's really cool, really subtle, but it was like the drum just kind of like pivoted around me, just the drum beat. And it's hard to describe with 100% accuracy. Obviously, it'd be a lot easier if you were here listening to it with me. But you can hear it, and it kind of like circled behind me, went over to the left, and then went back over and stayed on the right side of the room where the ceiling meets the wall, where there are no speakers. So pretty cool up mix there using the Neural X, but also a pretty cool effect of having that sound, that drum beat alone, move around the room. So check that out if you will. All right, let's move along to 55 minutes, 25 seconds, drill. And this is when that big drilling machine, that the grinding machine, if you will, like just cuts a hole the size of, I don't know, like 10 feet wide, 10 feet in circumference, diameter. It's huge. And it just comes right at the wall, but it's coming at the wall like a tank. So it sounds like a tank. And the bass in your room, my feet were vibrating. My chair was vibrating. Everything is just like, brrr, like it's actually coming at you. Really, really cool. 55 minutes, 25 seconds. Great bass right there. Not so much streaming. You're not getting half of that on the streaming. Sorry. That's why I say, like, go with the Blu-ray. The lesser picture than the streaming, than the 4K streaming. But the sound is just so much more engaging. And then once you're into the movie and you're watching it, the picture quality, you adjust to that, and that's fine. Just, I mean, when they come out with the 4K, definitely grab it. All right. Moving along to 1 hour, 5 minutes, 20 seconds. This here is for my buddy Joe. This is that scene. I don't know if this was where he was at the time, but I had Joe on Takeover Tuesday podcast, and he happened to be in New York during the filming of this movie. And he said he almost ran into him, Bruce Willis, on a bicycle. And this is that scene. So if you freeze this right here at 105 and 20 seconds, Bruce Willis, Samuel Jackson racing down New York streets on bicycles. So I had to put that in here. Pretty cool. So Joe's almost a movie star. Maybe he was one of these guys in suits walking down the street. I don't know. All right, let's move along to 1 hour, 9 minutes, 30 seconds. Elevator shootout. Is Captain America Civil War when he's in the elevator? Actually, sorry, Winter Soldier. That was Winter Soldier. Was that battle in the elevator that Captain America had, Steve Rogers, was that an homage to, Die Hard with a Vengeance? Because it's kind of the same thing. They're all in the elevator surrounding him, and he's looking around like, I know what's going on here. So the shootout, really cool. Really cool. Very loud. Really sounded very natural, like a gun going off in an elevator. You had the nice bass, felt punchy to the chest. But you also had the sound ringing out in as it's bouncing off the metal walls of an elevator. Sounded really nice. But also pay attention to the localization, the gun going off on one side, bullet hitting on the other side, super close together. You have to watch the scene a bunch of times, but that's not a bad thing because it's kind of fun. It's a fun scene. Even to really grab it, yeah, you got to watch it a bunch of times to really hear the differences. Where the bullets are landing, where things are being splattered. Even the final shot that when the gun goes off and his brain splatter, I believe it starts, the gun goes off to the right side of the room, but it's not fully to the right side. It's just like leaning to the right side of the room. And then the splatter goes to the left side of the room. It very quick because you're in a close environment. So it's bang, slap, bang, splat, but it's like right there. I'm not going to reenact it again. So Yeah, definitely check that one out. That one's a lot of fun to analyze and break down. Had a lot of fun with that one. Let's move up to 1 hour, 19 minutes, 10 seconds. Guy with 8 reindeer. That's the line that John McClane uses. Bruce Willis comes up to along the side of a dump truck that's stopped in the tunnel. And he's just trying to say some kind of construction lines as he's pretending to be a security guard of the tunnel. He comes up and then he just fires. And that sounds so good. The gun sounds from the left side of your room. Deep shots, deep bass coming from that, from the handgun. But then the sounds of it going through the metal and going through them. There, you could hear some reflections off to the right side of the room. Really, really nice. Nice, you know, very punctual. I don't know. Very discreet bass to those gunshots. Really, really nice. Really like that. Let's move along to 1 hour, 24 minutes, 45 seconds. Echoes. I gave this one 3 boxes of popcorn. I think this is my favorite scene of the whole movie. Again, this is a little details type thing, not big explosions or anything like that. So this is the scene where John McClane pulls up, Bruce Willis pulls up in the dump truck, and there's a break in the road, and one of the panels are down that allows the dump truck to cross. So he stops, gets out of the dump truck, and as he's getting out of the dump truck, they explode, the explosion goes off to release the water. That's the other part that's going on in the movie. Jeremy Irons' character, Simon, it blows the water so that it's going to flood the tunnels. But when he gets out of the truck, you hear the bass, you hear the boom, but it's like even McClane, Bruce Willis puts his hand on the truck. Like, I could feel that, but I didn't really hear it. That's how it is in your room too. But that's not why I stamped this scene. I called it Echoes for a reason. So McClane goes up to the break in the road, and he jumps down into it. And he's got to move that board, that panel, that giant piece of steel, which you can't move. It's supposed to hold a dump truck full of gold. So how's he going to move it? But listen to the echoes. You're in a tunnel. So listen to the echoes that go on. And that, you know, it sounds like you're in a tunnel. He jumps down there, some metal's clanking, and you hear the echoes of the metal. But at 1 minute, 1 hour, 25 minutes and about 20 seconds. So McClane, if I'm wrong on the stamp, you'll know the scene. McClane's leaning on the thing. He's got a pipe underneath it, trying to use leverage, and he pulls on it. And all of it, and he says, he grunts. He goes, ugh, like that. Then you hear it again. You hear it 3 times, almost perfectly clear. You hear it out of his voice. Then you hear an echo, but the echo moves into your room. So it bounces very quickly off of something near you. You hear it there. And then you hear it again, almost just as clear, but now it's behind you to the right side of your room. Not in the rear corner, off to the right of the rear side of your room. Just, it was just so clear, so amazing. Like you were there. It's like, it's the stuff you did as a kid when you're if you got to go to the mountains and you go, hello, hello, hello. And you listen for that, right? Well, they're doing it here. He goes, and then you get the, further away. There's other echoes too, but that one there is just so distinct. When he moves the pipe, you get the echoes from that. I think he makes another sound as well out of him. Like he vocally says something or not, doesn't say something, but grunts or something. You get the echo from that. But that one at 25:20, 1 hour, 25:20, right around that ballpark time. It's so cool and so well done. Just the way they placed it off the first one comes right from him on the screen. The second one slightly more into your room to the right. And then the last one from behind you to the right. Really, really nice. Really, really well done. And got to check that out. Again, checked it out on streaming. It's there. It's the high pitch that you get out of that echo because it's bouncing off of concrete and stuff. It just didn't feel as nice. Didn't feel as accurate, if you will. All right, let's move along to 1 hour, 27 minutes, 30 seconds, sniper fire, 2 boxes of popcorn. So John McClane has just gone dump truck surfing, and he somehow found a way to, while all this water is rushing through the tunnel, very powerfully, powerful enough to move a dump truck, he could still hold on to the grate and be able to climb his way up until there was so much pressure it shot him out, you know, 20, 30 feet in the air, and then he comes down and lands in a puddle, and he's not the worse for wear. Now, you know, just a little muddy. Anyways, that's not what this scene's about. But that's what we just saw. No, this scene here is so, and of course, let's get to the part that my buddy John loves this stuff. What a coincidence. Well, how convenient that Samuel Jackson's character happens to be driving by at the exact same time and actually sees him shoot up through the manhole cover or whatever it was. Anyways, check out at the 27 minutes and 30 second mark, the sniper fire comes from the left rear of your room, off to the side, not where a speaker is, way behind you, super distinct bass, nice, tight bass, like it's coming from a sniper rifle, but you can hear it behind you, but then you can hear the shots hitting the ground. Worst sniper in the world, because he's shooting all around. Nobody knows he's there, but he somehow misses Bruce Willis anyways. But hitting the ground all around him. And you can hear it on, you can hear those sounds, the thump, 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 landing on the screen shortly after you hear the bang, bang, bang from the rear. I can't even imitate that. It sounds so good, so realistic, off to the distance, but still a nice bass sound to it. Nice, tight bass. Almost could feel it, almost, like, but like you should, like, I mean, it's not like you would be able to feel that in real life. Really, really cool. That's why I gave it two boxes of popcorn. Really cool scene. Check that out. Nice payoff after that, you know, could that really happen type of stuff. All right, let's move it up to 1 hour, 47 minutes, 29 seconds, gunfire. I had to put this one in. It's very simple. The female character there, I don't even think she has a line in the entire movie, but she turns the gun on one of the other bad guys, basically executes him because he's kind of figured out the plan, and the gun turns, and it's just that she fires five shots, and the first two are just so distinct, so perfect. I mean, there's just so much detail to that shot, to those shots. It's very tight bass. Could feel that in your chest. But then there's just more to it. There's just a lot of depth to those sounds. And then as it, the third, fourth, and fifth shot, they seem to get a little bit lesser because the camera comes off of the gun and goes on to Jeremy Irons and a close up of her in looking into her eyes. She's not even looking at the guy as she fires. The idea is that Jeremy Irons and this woman are like eye locked, and she just turns the gun on the bad guy and kills him. So when the first two shots, the camera's on the gun, and then it gets slightly less visceral, slightly less detailed in the gunshots when they go to the close-ups of the characters. So check that out. Really liked, very, very detailed shot sounds of those guns. Really cool. Moving along to 1 hour, 47 minutes, 53 seconds, Motor. And this isn't like District 9 type Motor, but it is still pretty cool. So Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis are, they're handcuffed around a pipe on the ship. But you can hear the engine, the motor of the engine. You can hear it go boom, 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 and you can feel it. Not as much as you can in District 9 when they shut down the engine on that Humvee or personnel carrier that I talk about, that I love that scene. But this did remind me of it because it's a sound that's there. It's a sound you can feel in your seat. It's very minor, but it is there. And it's really, really cool ambient sound that's going on while they're having their conversation on how they can escape and everything like that. So check that one out. I really enjoy that. I like subtleties like that, especially subtleties that involve your subwoofer system in your room. Because if you've got more than one, you've got a system. So, anyways, moving along to 1 hour, 51 minutes, 51 seconds, underwater. So this is where the ship blows up, and the explosion was nice. Nothing really to write home about. You gotta, When they pulled away, it was nice. You got a little bit of a boom like you do in fireworks when you get that one discrete boom. But nothing really spectacular out of it. But what I really liked was when the camera went under the water to where Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis were, and you could still hear the explosion and the way that resonated in the room and how it was muffled in the water, but yet was still had a nice visceral feel to it. The sides of my chair vibrated. My room vibrated. But it wasn't like overly loud. So you really got to enjoy that feel that you got. And then the muted sounds of being underwater, the bubbles and all of everything that's going on really, really, you know, impacted your room really well with all of that. And then it comes up and then you get the higher pitched sounds from the score, that is. Also, the streaming and the Kaleidoscape 4K on this, so much better under the water because it's a darker scene. I didn't even mention that when we were in the tunnels, the different scenes there, the colors of the trucks and everything. Streaming, just not so much. It's not very good at all compared to the 4K version. I'm sorry, not streaming. The Blu-ray doesn't look good at all compared to the 4K streaming version. So definitely, you know, if you took the time to spend the $3.99 and rent the 4K version, even though you have the Blu-ray, take the time and check out some of those scenes, some of those tunnel scenes during the middle of the movie, like that echo scene. There was stuff there, but there's a lot of floodlights work going on there that the 4K and the HDR really take advantage of. Really enjoyed that. But again, if you're just watching the Blu-ray, the sound is so much better. That's the way you should really go. And then I'm not saying you're suffering through picture quality, but when the 4K disc comes out, definitely be grabbing that. I would. Let's see. Let's move along to 1 hour, 53 minutes, 30 seconds. Helicopter blades, and Samuel Jackson's in the helicopter. Bruce Willis is calling, or John McClane is calling Holly on the payphone. And at first, the camera is on Samuel Jackson in the helicopter, and you hear the blades start to fire up, and you see, and it's over your head. Sounded really, really nice. And then the camera goes on to John McClane at the payphone, and now you hear those same blades to the off in the distance a little bit on the right side of your room. Nice shot there. Nice pan, the way they did that, or placement, I should say. Really, really cool. Definitely check that out. Up mixing with the Neural X. Really nice, giving you that overhead feel. And again, on the streaming, not so much. The sound of those blades turning had a lot of detail to them, had some nice deeper sound to it, but you also had the high pitch whirling from it. And all of that on the streaming version is just muted, just not as good as it is on the disc and on the Kaleidoscape. So, all right, next scene at 1 hour, 56 minutes even. And this one's called Circling the Building, and it's one box of popcorn. So the bad guys are up in Canada. They're in a warehouse type place. This is a great scene for sound and a great scene for HDR. It's a very dark scene. You have the light from the helicopter coming in the upper windows of the warehouse. But how this gets upmixed into your room using Neural X and surrounding your room as this helicopter circles the building, it circles your room. So cool. Really, really nicely done. It's like you're in there. It's like you're in your room and a helicopter is circling your room. Again, this is just DTS 5.1 master audio mix. It's not DTS:X. It's not Atmos. But with that up mixing, it'd be hard to tell that it's not. This scene here is really cool. That's why I gave it a box of popcorn. And check out the HDR on this too. Looks really, really nice. Again, if you did buy the if you rented it for $3.99, I would never buy this on iTunes if you have the disc. The sound is so much better on the disc. So just a big difference there. Sorry, keep going back to that, but it was a huge difference. All right, last scene at 2 hours even. Say hello to your brother. Two boxes of popcorn. Now this is an explosion. So the helicopter explodes. But let's break this down. There's so much more to it than just an explosion. So Bruce Willis stands in front of him. He's got two shots left in the gun. Where have we heard that before? He even put the bullets in his hand. It was like, huh, not good. I mean, basically reenacting the end scene from Die Hard. Really cool. I like that stuff. I don't care.
Oh, they already did it that way.
Yeah, good. I know. And we loved it. Let's do it again. This one, though, oh, two shots. He takes out the wire that comes down and cuts the helicopter. They're trying to get out of there. But there's a metal light pole off to the left side of the screen. The helicopter turned, you know, heads off to the left there and crashes in. The blades hit that metal light pole. So you start to hear that noise, that high pitch, that ding, like it's hitting the light pole on the left side of your room. But you're also getting the score is ramping up. Your room is getting louder. It's coming over. Listen for, as the explosion starts to happen, those rotor blades are still hitting a light pole. So you get the sound of those rotor blades. Then you get a nice bass explosion just come right off the screen, right into your room. Boom. You get all of that feel. But then listen for the rotors to continue hitting that for a few seconds, or maybe like a half a second. You get the more of that, and then more explosions, and then pieces start landing. But what I thought was cool is the pieces didn't land over your head. They didn't land behind you, kind of like in Terminator 2 when Cyberdyne blows up and the building blows up and you hear the explosion in front of you, and then there's a slight gap in sound, and then you hear the pieces land behind you, which is kind of what would happen when you blew up like the second, third floor of a building. Here, they all land, everything landed in front of you. Felt like it was like my prime seating is in my second row in my room. So it felt like the pieces were landing in front of my front row, like right there, but not at the front wall, but they were into the room. Pretty cool. Pretty accurate. I thought that was really nice, but really good explosion too. Really good feel, good bass, visceral, seats vibrated. My chest felt it at times. And then again, the detail that you get of those rotor blades and the other high pitched noises as well in moving around the room. Really cool. All right. That will do it. That was the final scene, man. So much fun. I haven't seen this movie. I don't think I've seen this movie with a DTS Neural X upmixing. And I think that makes a big difference. It sounded so good. So, so good. So definitely stick with the Blu-ray. The advantage I get with the Kaleidoscape is I get the best of both worlds, really. Because, I mean, yeah, it's a slightly better picture than streaming, but you get both sounds at the same time. So that was really cool. So can't recommend this enough when it comes out on 4K disc. As I said earlier, this is one of my favorite Die Hard movies. I actually like the story a little bit more than the first Die Hard, but Die Hard will always be my favorite. It's the first. I said that before, so I'll say it again. But such a good story. So much fun. Seemed to last a little too long at times on second viewing, but I do remember the first viewing of this. And yeah, as I said earlier, it just was so much fun. I remember seeing it in the theater. So can't recommend it enough. Thank you, everybody for watching. If you're still watching, thank you very much. And if you'd like to support me on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. And you can support me as little as a dollar or as much as you would like. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters that are already supporting me. It's not necessary, but it's greatly, greatly appreciated. The other way you can support the podcast is just follow me on Twitter @BrightsideHT or on YouTube. Please hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. More followers I get, the more people get to hear about this stuff. And maybe if you'd like to come on the show, take over Tuesday. I'm booking into May now as this comes out, but if you're watching this 2 years from now, hopefully Takeover Tuesday is still going along, but you can come on the show, having a great time with it. 2 hour long conversations, just chit chatting about home theater. All you got to do is DM me or email me. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, we'll just talk home theater. And having a lot of fun with that. Thank you to everybody that's been on. Thank you to everybody that's coming on. So much fun doing that. So that'll do it for this week. Everybody, have a great weekend. Have a lot of fun. If it's raining outside, stay in. Watch something. If it's sunny outside, stay in. Watch something. It's always fun. Because you know what? All you got to do is go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.
Hey, home theater nerds. Thanks for sticking around. We got a few here, and I got my trusty little THX hat. We're going to put the names into the hat for everybody that participated in the, I guess, the hashtag Kaleidoscapes, hashtag No Way Home, hashtag Physical Media giveaway. I got to put these in here. We got them all, bunch them up in that inside the trusty little hat. You can see I'll draw the name out and you guys will see on the screen if you're watching on YouTube, but then of course I'll say it so that people that are listening, you'll know. Let's see, who do we want? All right, let's not look. I shouldn't be looking, should I? So I'll bundle it up like this. I can't see. We'll put it way over here and we'll pull a name out. Oh, fell on the floor. I hope that wasn't, I don't know who that was. I won't look. All right. Holding it up to the screen. Graham Cole. I'm like literally reading it off the screen. Graham Cole. So Graham, DM me and I'll get your information and we'll get that Spider-Man No Way Home 4K physical media disc because I'm still a fan. We'll always be a fan. I'll get that out to you. So thank you, everybody, for playing along and for listening past so that you knew it was there. So that was pretty cool. So there will be more. I love doing these things. I love doing the little Easter egg type thing. So thank you, everybody, for participating. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great week.